Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. And I don't know, you got to dig into your insides of YouTube these days to figure out how to get notified.
Man.
Hopefully you're getting new Going In Raw content. If not,
why do they gotta make it so complicated?
Every day we're doing new stuff over here. We're also on the wherever you can find good podcasts, like Stitcher, Podbean,
Google Play.
I think iHeartRadio is that one of them?
Yeah, I think so.
And then of course the amazing iOS podcast app, which works really, really well. And if you want to support the show and don't have the money to like kick us some money through the Patreon, then if you could leave us a rating or a review on the iOS podcast app, that'd be fantastic. That actually really does help the show.
It does.
If you do have some extra money to kick around, you could be one of our amazing patrons at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got all sorts of great reward tiers available to choose from. If you want to support the show, that's a great way to do it.
Yes.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. Look at my, hey, wait, hey.
Hey.
Got my shirt.
Oh, speaking of which.
You got your shirt, too.
I have shirt, too.
Good job.
Not going to happen.
Well done. Well done. Anyway,
I got the Larson head shirt, too. I might wear that tomorrow.
Nice. Well done. Let's see here. Can I cut this one out? One. Nope. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Tell them where else they can find us, Larson.
Did you say Patreon already?
I already said that.
Pro Wrestling Tees. You said that already?
I already said that one.
Podcast places. You said that, too. YouTube. You said that. Well, that's everything.
I already said everything.
You already said everything. The only thing we have left to do is talk about wrestling, which is what we're here to do.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, let's talk about SmackDown then. I had to change something so our patrons can actually get our live stream today.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So, show kicked off with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn coming down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
To drop a promo.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how the McMahon family, when they have a beef with somebody, I think Kevin Owens used the phrase, they extract. They make sure to get their pound of flesh.
Oh, yeah.
He used that phrase, I know.
I like that phrase. It's a good phrase.
It's a good phrase.
Yeah. He listed several examples.
Yes,
Stone
he talked
Cold,
about
Steve
Stone
Austin
Cold.
Being
he talked about Daniel Bryan and said that they were next in line and they were better than all the other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they talked about how they have outsmarted Shane several instances, most recently last week when during Kevin Owens' match against Randy Orton, Sami Zayn was barred from ringside, yet Sami Zayn managed to interject himself into the match by hitting Orton with a chair on the ramp. And
kind
Zayn gave us a little geography lesson of what the whole arena setup is.
Yeah, right. You have stage, ramp, ring.
Ringside.
And then ringside.
Yes.
Right. Kind of interesting to go along with the title of today's episode, Daniel Bryan heel turn, like my clickbait skills for you. Kind of interesting that they would bring up Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Because there is the possibility. I feel like they're all going to be in cahoots, man.
You think so?
I kind of feel that way.
Really?
We're setting up for some weird stuff. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yes.
So anyways, what happened next? Where are we?
Well, then after that, Randy Orton came out of nowhere to RKO Kevin Owens.
Yeah, they did. There was some decent TV production there because they were cutting back and forth. Sami Zayn, like you said, he was giving us a geography lesson
and
at that point,
he was on the ramp.
Yeah, and then they cut back and forth to him and Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn is listing off, I forget what, but then it cuts back to Kevin Owens, and out of nowhere, we get an RKO.
Yeah.
They really love to play up the out of nowhere aspect.
Well, that's what got the move over all over again.
Yeah, man, it's a meme now.
It is. So after that, Shane McMahon comes out while Sami is still on the ramp, and he says, "You know, Sami, you're right. I can't really punish you for what you did last week, but it doesn't mean that his beef has gone away."
Beef.
So he says, "At Clash of Champions, Owens and Zayn will take on Randy Orton and a partner of his choosing."
Yeah.
And then on SmackDown tonight, Zayn will take on Orton. And he says, "I encourage Kevin Owens to be ringside because he's going to be handcuffed to the bottom rope."
Right, right. kind of, I don't know. I mean, I kind of underwhelming for a tag match to be what I guess would, well, it's not going to be the main event. AJ versus Ginger is supposed to be the main event.
I would assume so. It's for the title, yeah. But that's the A story,
I mean,
right now.
This is the A story right now.
AJ wasn't even on the show last night. Neither was Ginger.
Yeah, I know.
They just had a prolonged video package.
The New Day was.
Yeah.
What did the New Day do last night?
They took on Rusev and Aiden
English. Oh, that's right. That's right.
I believe that happened next.
Yeah. That happened next.
But first, let's talk about this backstage segment with Owens and Zayn. Of course, they were none too pleased about things.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Owens says, well, hold on. Let me talk to Daniel Bryan first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see if he can change things.
I just feel like this is leading to a situation. And by the time we get done recapping this episode, we'll lay out what I think is going to be happening.
All right.
We'll get your thoughts on it too. But as evidenced through this little segment, we see Daniel Bryan seems to have a special affinity for Owens and Zayn. He's trying to talk some sense into them, and in a backhanded way, in a very backhanded way, explain to them, I'm trying to help you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you guys to be fired.
Yes, because as Daniel Bryan said a couple weeks back, he recognizes them as top flight talent.
Right, exactly.
And wants to keep on the show to keep the show good.
And I wonder if there's an element of what they talked about in terms of Kevin Owens when he said, you know, the McMahons have screwed Daniel Bryan. Completely true. And yeah. Daniel Bryan has been very vocal lately, especially lately. And granted, that's all out of character about saying, you know, I want to return to the ring, but they won't clear me. And he's also out of character been saying, I understand they think it's in my best interest, and I respect the crap out of that. They don't think that it's healthy for me to go out there and wrestle.
Yeah.
And, you know, out of character, like, the real person seems to be very diplomatic about it.
Bryan Danielson
is very diplomatic about it. But you can translate that into a story where the character Daniel Bryan is holding some resentments over the fact that he was forced to retire. Because once you're in the area of Total Bellas storylines.
Oh, that's part of canon.
Okay, there's a question. So that's kayfabe.
Yeah.
That's part of canon.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Fair enough.
From my vantage point, anything that's aired by WWE on television can be interpreted as canon.
Right. Okay. Just making sure. So, I mean, you know, that's a great story.
Yeah.
I think to explore. I'm not sure if they'll be able to do it with Daniel Bryan as a heel. So we're going to talk about the opposite of that when we get around to talking about Shane and what he's been doing.
Yeah, because at the end of this, he was basically doing this. Moo-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Exactly. But then the WWE sometimes considers as
a face thing. I mean, Randy Orton burned down a house.
And he was done. Exactly.
Basically. I mean, he was doing his pose, but that was the equivalent. Yeah. Yes. After that, we had Rusev and Aiden English take on the New Day.
The New Day.
Rusev has a new shirt. Happy Rusev Day.
I am so close to getting that shirt.
It's spectacular.
Because I, like, more than anybody.
Wait for the next sale to have a lot of sales.
Yeah, I know, but listen, man, more than anybody on main roster right now, I want to show the WWE who I'm supporting.
And that's Rusev.
And that's Rusev. Rusev is so dang good.
He is.
I want to support him.
Yeah. Even this whole segment, he didn't talk. And he was awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Aiden English was singing the 12 days of Rusev Day.
Yeah.
You know, like the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
We only got 2 days in. It was already great.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. What was the first day?
Tag team win.
That's right. My partner gave to me. Yeah. And Rusev was like, I did give him a win. Yes.
Yeah.
Rusev being tickled by Aiden's songs is everything.
Yes.
That's everything.
But he was interrupted on the third day by the New Day, who came out handing out the largest pancakes I may have ever seen.
Pretty big pancakes.
They were gigantic pancakes.
What's the origin of them handing out pancakes?
I have no idea.
I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah.
And hilarious.
Yeah.
I know there's probably some sort of sexual innuendo with the word pancakes, perhaps. I honestly don't really know.
I don't know either.
But I think it's great.
It's fantastic.
Pancakes are fantastic.
Pancakes are delicious.
They are delicious. But you prefer waffles.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I generally don't ever order pancakes by themselves, but I'll order a waffle by itself.
Yeah.
But if pancakes come part of a larger breakfast, then I'll eat the pancakes.
Right. But pancakes are the centerpiece of a breakfast.
No.
Let me ask you, when's the last time you had pancakes? Was it a restaurant situation or somebody made them situation?
No, probably my wife made them.
Okay. All right. That's different.
Because like if I go to a restaurant and get a breakfast with eggs and bacon and hash browns and pancakes come with it, No, dude, no. But I will never order. Listen, let me finish. When I'm in a restaurant, I won't order pancakes as a centerpiece of my breakfast.
You have everything backwards. You're in a bizarro world. Pancake breakfast is the centerpiece.
No, not. Well, if you're going to a thing that is labeled a pancake breakfast, then yes. But if I'm going to a local diner,
they don't say, "What do you want with that freaking English muffin or pancakes?" No,
well, actually, here's
pancakes isn't a side to a breakfast.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're insane.
No, I am not.
You're absolutely insane.
No, I am not.
Pancakes are the centerpiece of any breakfast.
No. I've gone to several diners where you get like an egg dish with meat, and with that you get two pancakes. It is not the centerpiece. The centerpiece is the eggs and the meat.
And wait, a what? Like
eggs.
Like
you get like a two egg breakfast, and with that comes two pancakes. You're not saying, oh, I want a pancake. You can go to like Denny's and get a slam, which is based on pancake or...
Yeah, the entire Denny's breakfast.
Yeah, but that's
basically...
Denny's. I'm saying if you go to some other diners, you go and say, I want a two egg breakfast.
No, man.
And you
I want a two egg breakfast. What are you, Jack Nicholson in Five Easy Pieces?
I'm just telling you how it is, man. Whereas if you order a waffle, that is the centerpiece of your breakfast.
What diner are you going to?
Dozens.
Dozens of diners?
I've been to, that's how
You've
it's
been
done.
To dozens of
yes,
diners?
I have, across this country.
And it's all been like that?
Yeah.
You're insane. Pancakes are the centerpiece, man.
Not for me.
Everything else is well, maybe not for you, but I guarantee those diners, you're just misinterpreting the menu.
No, because if you look at the menu, how it's broken down, you have your pancake, waffle, French toast section, and then you have your egg section, where you get two egg breakfast, three egg, choice of meat, and get a ham steak, whatever. And above the list of egg options, where it says where the meal includes, it'll say, generally... You know, eggs, choice of meat, breakfast potatoes or hash browns, pancakes, choice of bread.
I don't know, man. These are weird diners you're going to. I feel like
They're all American diners.
I don't think they are. Anyways, continuing on. Mojo Rawley gave him.
No, we didn't talk about what happened during this match.
Oh, Rusev won.
Yeah, Rusev pinned Kofi after kicking him in the back of the head.
Yeah, it was great.
Kofi did his trust dive move again, and I can't get enough of that.
Oh, I love it. It's funny too,
it's
because
so great.
Because and I forget who it is, and I'm sorry, but somebody on Twitter said, you know, all it takes is for somebody not to catch him for that to go really wrong. And I'm thinking to myself,
that's why it's a trust dive.
Well, no, hold on a second though. Every wrestling move relies on both guys to do their job.
Yeah, every move is a trust
like,
dive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if one guy doesn't lift you up for a power bomb, or if one guy doesn't like do a crunch on a power bomb,
yeah, you get a Bob Holly situation.
Did you ever see who was it? I think it was Sid. Was it Sid? Trying to powerbomb Hogan?
Oh, no.
Hulkamania almost ended up...
It's sort of like when Kevin Nash couldn't get the Giant all the way.
The Giant, yeah. Yeah. I don't think Hogan knew how to... Like, I'm pretty sure the Giant knew how to do a powerbomb. It was just there's so much weight there.
Yeah.
I don't think Hogan understood the mechanics of a powerbomb. Next up, Mojo Rawley gave an interview. He's very intense.
Yeah, Serious Mojo was great.
Serious Mojo, heel Mojo. And he said, everything was going great for me. And then Zack Ryder came back and he's dead weight. Things started not going good.
Yeah.
You got to figure in character. He's thinking, I was at Jinder Mahal level, you know, at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then now Jinder Mahal is above brand.
Former WWE
champion.
He's
above brand
now. And then I got to wrestle in a tag team with Zack Ryder.
Yeah. Screw all that madness.
So he turned on him.
Yeah.
Next, Daniel Bryan backstage with Carmella, Lana, and Tamina.
Yeah.
I'm trying to piece together what happened here. There was just a lot going on. But they were all just complaining about how...
There's a lot of complaining here. The dialogue written for the women's division on SmackDown is not...
Not good.
Not good,
no.
Man. Because then the Riot squad comes in, and Ruby's always great.
Yeah, she's great. She can make bad writing seem decent
yeah,
because
I know.
She's
certain
good at
people
delivery.
Can do that.
I know.
There are certain people who can
comfortable.
Do that. Yeah, she's comfortable. Liv was actually even pretty decent.
Yeah, I thought Liv did a good job. All night.
Yep. We got to give... I mean, she might have an A for effort, but she needs to try a lot more. Sarah Logan. I mean, some of those words...
Dialogue is not good.
The dialogue is not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
So you notice that Liv last night in her ring gear toned down the color palette.
That's a bummer. I don't like that your influence is seeping into the SmackDown's
well,
costume
choice.
Department.
It's a wise choice.
No, man. The louder, the better. That's
no.
what I say.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
You pancake breakfast, you. So, anyways, the Riot Squad showed up. And is that when Carmella... Like, no, that was later.
No, wait.
This was... They started getting on Daniel Bryan.
About Natalia and Charlotte having another match
and they all
like
started
that.
Chirping at each other. And then Daniel Bryan had to, like... I don't know. They were going for comedic effect. It didn't really work. Zane O'Brien then had to like say, everybody shut up. And then
he had to scream stop.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, none of you are going to be in a title match, but you could be Lumberjacks at the title match at Clash of Champions.
Lumberjacks now to SmackDown is what the six-pack challenge used to be to SmackDown. When are they going to bring back the wild card finals?
Oh, I know. That was great. I still have no idea what it is, but it was great.
I'm still very confused.
Is it just me? Does it feel like SmackDown, like, they need to change something? Does this feel stale?
It does. Look at that show. I mean, you got, number one, you've got Randy Orton is evidently, you're like, I mean, AJ Styles isn't there. He's supposed to be number one face.
So Orton is like top face in attendance.
Oh, but it's not good, man. He's so bored and he's got that weird hair now.
And when SmackDown was like firing in all cylinders because they're interweaving stories.
Oh,
and stuff,
good.
And it was, now there's a very clear delineation between various stories. And it's funny that Raw right now is doing, for the most part, everything SmackDown was doing well 6 months ago.
I know.
Raw's doing a good job of interweaving stories.
SummerSlam really gave Raw a kick in the pants.
Yeah.
You know, it really did. And SmackDown, I don't know what happened there.
I don't know either. There's it feels like there's basically no energy on the show for the most part.
Dude, listen to this. You have Kevin Owens. It's because you were talking about the possibility of going to the SmackDown house show that's going to happen in, was it March, February?
February.
And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't really want to spend money right now. But then I thought about it. I was like, man, but Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles.
Nakamura.
I'm like,
Randy Orton.
Why is it you have all four of those guys?
The New Day.
And the Usos. Dude, even take out, because they've done, that's been a bright spot. Yeah. I can't criticize that.
Yeah.
You have those four singles competitors. That's like four of the best wrestlers
in the world
right now. Like, AJ's number one. Nakamura could be number one if they did something with him. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, they're both like, those are the best wrestlers in the world. And what do we get, a Clash of Champions? A tag team match?
I know.
Oh, what is that? I don't know, man. You got this amazing talent here.
And yeah, there's stakes involved with that match, but based on the stakes, it's plainly obvious who's going to win.
You know.
There's zero intrigue.
Yeah, I know.
I know. It's
so I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing.
It's a bummer, man. And like, you know, we try to be positive here on the show, but it's like, man, when the potential is there and we've seen it firing on all cylinders, and now it's not really doing that. I mean, look, I appreciate that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the A story. I like that.
Yeah.
And I like Daniel Bryan's the A story, and it looks like they're gonna do something interesting with him.
Yeah, I hope so.
But I don't know. Maybe we just have to get past Clash of Champions and things.
Get on the road to the Rumble.
Get on the road to the Rumble. Things will sort themselves out.
Yeah, one could hope.
Next up, we had
Bobby Roode and Baron Corbin backstage, and that was going fine until Dolph Ziggler came in.
See, I'll say this: I actually appreciate Dolph Ziggler now, especially after that podcast
there
appearance.
There was too much talk about math in this.
Oh my god, segment. Dude! They were talking about math,
fractions.
Yeah. Like, it was a Scott Steiner thing all of a sudden. He was like, Dolph Ziggler gets in there, and all of a sudden, my chances go down by a third. You want to talk about math?
They don't go down by a third. They go down to a third.
They go down to a third. You want to talk about math? And I'm thinking, no! Nobody wants to talk about math! I hate math.
I don't have a problem with math, but it doesn't really make for a captivating feud.
Like, me and math do not have, like, look, I love the concept of math, and I appreciate mathematicians because I believe that science and math is a cornerstone of all truth and knowledge. But I can't stand actually doing math, and I certainly don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Ugh. Hey, you want to talk about math? No. No.
No.
No.
No.
I don't.
So it's plainly obvious Dolph is in this match at Clash of Champions to take a pin. And what's probably going to happen is Bobby's going to hit his finisher. Baron's going to toss him out of the ring and pin Dolph.
I think you're right about that, man. I think you're right.
And at the Rumble, we'll get Baron and Bobby again.
Yeah.
One on
one. Or, I don't know. The Rumble's going to be stacked, so we're probably going to get down on SmackDown.
Could be.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with.
I will say that Bobby seemed much more comfortable in his role last night. He seemed like he had his lines down, so he wasn't worrying about memorizing and reciting his lines.
Right,
he was worried about performance.
Yeah.
So in that respect, it was an improvement.
Yeah.
Still a far cry from heel.
Yeah, man.
Bobby Roode
hanging out in the locker room wearing your robe.
Yeah, they got to stop doing that.
They have to stop doing the robe.
At least he had a match later on, so in that sense, it was somewhat justified.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know. That's true.
But when he's just hanging out in his robe, when he's not on the card,
yeah, I know,
doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't really make
any sense. Put him in a suit. He looks great in a suit. Put him in a suit.
Looks great in a suit.
Next, Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers.
Versus Adam James and Josh Carr. As one would expect, this wasn't much of a match.
No, this is actually great because the audience gasped when it kicked off. And then one of the dudes just got completely leveled and like thrown out of the ring.
Yeah.
It was great. I love local enhancement talent. I think it's fantastic. We saw some later on, too, in the form of security guards.
Yeah.
So that was rad. The Bludgeon Brothers.
Of course, went over.
Oh, easily. Yeah. This was like beyond a squash match.
Yeah. Next, Zayn and Owens again backstage. And Kevin Owens told Sami Zayn that, yeah, he talked to Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan was thinking about it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. And he's like, thinking about it, yes? And he's like, yes! And he was like, oh, wait, but is that a good thing or not? Next up we had... See, I feel... Look, this is... Trying to be optimistic here. I feel like... Because it doesn't necessarily feel like it's spinning its wheels, but I feel like they are hitting beats that's going to lead to something big, and that might be kind of cool.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. And it kind of feels like that. You can kind of tell sometimes when they're spinning their wheels, and this doesn't really
like spinning the wheels. This doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of drama involved in anything.
Right, yeah. They have a hard time building the tension during the story beats.
Yeah.
But I think it might be one of those things where there'll be a big story turn. Kind of like when Sammy, like when they were building to Hell in a Cell, and it kind of felt like spinning its wheels, but also kind of not. And then we got that big story development with Sammy turning with Kevin. And there was some good stuff there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they got punished and sent home, and it was weird.
Yeah. Next, Baron Corbin versus Bobby Roode.
Hey.
This was a fun match while it lasted.
I put this title in everybody's face.
I thought these two guys were putting on a decent match.
And yeah, I know, me too.
Dolph was out on commentary.
Yeah.
Again, talking about how, you know, no one cares about him pretty much.
Dolph has a really nice head of hair, though.
When he
came into the ring, well, call the positives when you can call him.
No, I understand.
He got into the ring. It was funny, too, because he stood there like a cat. He was like...
Yeah, I felt like he was trying to decide who to zigzag
first. Yeah, I think that's what he was trying to telegraph there. And he opted for Bobby first, and then he did the same to Baron. And so, you know, he showed that he has no allegiances. His only allegiance
is to the... But also, he is a force to be reckoned with come Clash of Champions in the U.S. title match.
Yeah.
But he's eating that pin.
He's totally eating that
pin.
He
is eating that pin. The only reason he's in that match is to eat that pin.
Oh, come on. He was just on a podcast spilling his emotions, man.
Is he going to win?
No.
Is Baron going to pin Bobby?
No.
Is Bobby going to pin Baron?
No.
Then Dolph is eating that pin. Only reason he's in that match, man.
I know, man, but you can be nicer about it.
I'm not being mean about it. I'm just speaking truth.
Calling it like it is here and going in wrong.
Yeah, man, I'm not being mean. You know, I used to be a huge Dolph fan. I still want him to succeed and do well.
Yeah, man. Me too.
But he's
got
in
a great
match.
Head of hair, though.
He's in the match to eat a pin.
It's like a lion-ish mane.
It is, like
hair.
A lion's mane it is.
Yeah,
I know.
It's great. So he's got that.
I wonder if he... I feel like he needs a refresh. He should just cut all that off.
No, that's a terrible idea. Yeah. Come on, man. It's the one thing he's got going for him. It might be like a... Remember Elaine's boyfriend on Seinfeld? The one who was like shaving his head?
Yeah.
And then she was like, this is an old picture. I could be dating this right now. And then he tried to grow it out and he looked like George.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Dolph. Maybe if he like shaves it all off or cuts it short. Nah, he'll look goofy, man.
He should just go to Hollywood and try to be an actor.
He'll just look like a Spirit Squad guy.
Well, I'm not saying do a buzz cut.
Yeah.
That's what you had back then was a flat top or something,
what
right?
What do you want then? Like a mullet?
No, just
that
shorter.
Would actually be kind of cool if you went full mullet.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like go, because he already looks like an 80s glam dude.
Yeah, he should just go full mullet.
Yeah.
Or do the hair metal hair.
Yeah.
Full of hairspray and stuff.
There you go. All right.
Next, Natalya was with Carmella, Tamina, and Lana backstage.
Yeah. So she was... trying to rev them up and trying to get them because now they're going to be lumberjacks. She was trying to get them to sort of, she was saying, you know, she was invoking history saying, remember before there was the riot squad, there was the welcoming committee. We got to have each other's backs. And Carmella, Lana, and Tamina were kind of like, maybe. And then all of a sudden, Ruby Riott shows up with her friends in tow. And then Carmella tries to backtrack a little bit and, you know, make it sound like she wasn't just talking crap about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened there.
Yes. That led to Charlotte versus Tamina.
Yeah.
Charlotte went over with a figure eight.
Yeah.
Natalya got in the ring and dropped a promo.
Uh-huh.
Talking about Clash of Champions, and then the Riott Squad came out.
It's kind of surprising they gave Sarah Logan the mic again.
I know.
Because it's just, it's like marble mouth.
Well, the dialogue is just not good.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan is Predator. He's what? Predator. Huh? Anyways, she'll get it figured out. She's still young. She's still young. Let's see here. And she's good in the ring, too. So, yeah, the Riot Squad, they started beating up, or they started taking on the Lumberjacks, basically.
Yeah.
So that was a brawl.
Brawl.
Next up, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn backstage. Again, commiserating now with Daniel Bryan.
And Daniel Bryan said he considered, and in the end, he agreed with Shane that Kevin Owens should be handcuffed to the bottom rope.
Yeah.
Three security guards walked up behind
local
him.
Local and local talent.
Most likely. They're
not really enhancement talent, are they? Yeah.
Most likely. And Kevin Owens is none too happy about it.
Yeah.
Go back outside to the ring after commercial break. Sammy and Kevin are already out there. Owens still protesting. Being handcuffed to the bottom rope, like arguing with Daniel Bryan.
I got to go back. Because I recognize one of the dudes that was the security guards. Tyler Bateman, I think, from Championship Wrestling in Hollywood.
Okay.
I call the Santino brothers stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize the other two, but they look so much like they've got their own gimmicks of some sort.
I know. Was Tyler Bateman the one with the mustache?
Yeah, the handlebar, exactly.
He very much looked like an independent wrestler.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, nobody has an old-timey handlebar mustache if you're not a wrestler.
Yeah, pretty much.
No regular Joe security guard sporting that. The other guy was like an 8-foot-tall guy massive head of hair.
That guy was super tall.
It's like, that guy's not just any regular security guard. No. He's lacing up the boots. Anyways, moving on.
Owens is protesting still the very end. And then Daniel Bryan says, if you don't do this, you're suspended.
Yeah.
I'm going to suspend you if you don't do this. And Owens says, all right, fine.
Yeah.
So he's handcuffed to the bottom rope. Daniel Bryan gives the key to Mike Chioda.
Yeah, Chioda.
Then the match begins.
Uh-huh. Somebody, Patrick Oliva here in chat says, Eric Watts and Tyler Bateman. I don't know if they're the third guy was. All right. Let's see here. Moving on.
So the match itself wasn't bad. Orton can still put on passable matches. Sami Zayn's a good wrestler.
I mean, look, Randy Orton will always have that RKO thing that is always kind of fun to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, that's something. But, yeah, it's just, dude, when you see in a podcast that he literally himself says, yeah, I'm kind of bored with this. It's hard to get invested in anything
really
he does.
Any enthusiasm.
He's just like vacant wrestler who comes out, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, the entire crux of the story was basically on Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, because with Randy Orton, there's no real stakes for him. You know, nothing really matters to his character.
No, I mean, I guess he just wants his revenge still for them costing Team SmackDown the win at Survivor Series, but I don't really see him really caring.
He hasn't
about that.
He hasn't said anything. He wasn't out there at the beginning. He's an avatar for Shane McMahon.
He couldn't even take 20 minutes of his life to be a lumberjack a couple weeks ago.
Exactly.
Obviously, he didn't really care that much.
I really wasn't into the finish of this match either. The fact that, I mean, I like Shinsuke coming out at the very end, but, you know, eventually Owens frees himself.
Yeah, well, Zayn gets some bolt cutters from under the ring, tries to get Owens free. Orton stops it. Eventually, Owens gets himself free, and then he just eats a punch from Orton, and then Orton just wins by a roll-up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's, you know, minus an AA, that's like the most John Cena thing they could have done. I don't want to see that stuff anymore. Like, if it's John Cena fighting for his life or career or something like that, then fine. Like, let's see that desperation stuff. But Randy came off as so casual about everything that was happening.
I know.
And it was just like, oh, he's going to be here, so I'm going to punch him. He's going to do this, so I'm going to punch him. And then I'm going to RKO or whatever he did. And, yeah, the roll-up. And then they attack him, which brings out Shinsuke Nakamura. And there's your partner for Clash of
Champions. Did you see Randy Orton ask Nakamura after the first... I think it's after they were done dishing out RKOs and Kinshasas.
Uh-huh.
He went up to him and says, do you want to be my partner? If I could read lips correctly.
That's great. So, I didn't actually notice that.
So the
that,
invitation but... was extended at that moment.
Okay, here's the thing. If you told me that there was going to be like a ride-along with Randy and Shinsuke, or even if we were going to get some backstage segments where they were being cutesy with each other and being fun time face guys, I'd actually be into that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a fly on the wall in that situation would be kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what Randy Orton has to say about Shinsuke Nakamura, because Shinsuke Nakamura has said really good things about Randy Orton.
Yeah.
That being said, them just randomly being paired because they're top faces and they don't really have...
They don't have anything else to do.
Yeah. I want everybody in the ring to be, you know, have some...
Stakes.
Yeah, stakes, some motivation, some reason to be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's it some constructive criticism for you.
Well, we got to see a lot of RKOs. We got to see a lot of Kinshasas to close the show.
I know, those are always fun.
Yeah.
All those are fun.
Yeah.
So...
But to actually close the show, we see Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan watching Orton and Nakamura's post-beatdown celebrations in the ring.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, Shane McMahon is basically, moo-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And Daniel Bryan says, well, is this enough? Is this enough punishment for
Owens? You have a lot more spaces between your ha-has. I go straight through. I go, and you go, moo-ha-ha-ha. That's good. I kind of like yours better.
I have Orton levels of enthusiasm for my
villainy. Like it. That's good.
Daniel Bryan asked Shane, okay, are they done being punished now?
Yeah.
And Shane more or less said, yeah, that's good for today.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be the special guest ref during the match at Clash of Champions. And if they lose, they're fired. Not just from SmackDown.
WWE.
From WWE. And Daniel Bryan had this look on his face.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Nobody in the crowd is ever going to accept Daniel Bryan as a heel.
No.
So wherever Daniel Bryan goes, if anybody follows, they will be faces as well.
Yeah.
However, in the McMahon line of thought, like we said before, thank you, is more of a face thing. Shane, I think in the minds of like story people or Vince or whomever, feels like what Shane is doing is completely justified. Yeah. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah.
How are they going to, is Shane going to go, like, how can Shane go full heel and not turn? Because in my mind, I'm thinking this. Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, and Sami Zayn, there's no way they can pull off being actual heels with actual heel heat, which means the opposite. They've got, is this going to be like a face turn for them?
It's got to be. I would think. I mean, if something like this happens where at Clash of Champions, Owens and Zayn win, with or without Daniel Bryan's help.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, Shane isn't satisfied with that. He says, no, you're still gone.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan comes out and says, no. You may not like them, but they, at every turn, we've tried to screw them over.
Yeah.
And they've outlasted you, outsmarted you. You can't just turn around and say you're fired just because you're vindictive.
Yeah.
No. And then Shane can just take things too far.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan brings up, well, it's your family that keeps me from wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's held me down back when I was on the way up trying to, you know, be a main event player.
Yeah. I love all that. Yeah. I think that's, it makes perfect logical sense. It would be fantastic. I would say 60% it's not going to happen, but there's a chance it could happen. Here's a weird thing, though. He's going to be a special guest referee for AJ and Jinder coming
up. Yeah.
That's kind of weird if he's in the middle of a really juicy storyline. If he then does that, a little oddball.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I guess cross that bridge when we get to it, but I kind of feel like the road you're going down, holy crap, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be neat.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the McMahons as evil authority figures is something that's been done ad nauseum.
Yes.
We haven't seen Shane as a heel. We've never seen Owens as a true face. There's a lot of really cool stuff that can be done with, I know, another McMahon authority thing.
Yeah.
But given the real kind of aspect of it with Daniel Bryan and then toss Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in there, I think it could be really a really, really entertaining twist on something we've seen a lot.
Yeah, and I think if they do Shane mad with power, then you could easily pivot to Owens and Zayn instead of just being, you know, saboteurs essentially, really fighting against a corrupt authority.
Right. Which is how
it's the Stone Cold thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because I don't think you could ever have Kevin Owens be a full-fledged baby face.
Right.
He's got to be a tweener.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that'd be kind of exciting to see, you know? Finally, the crowd would have a real reason to cheer the guy.
Yeah, because I really want to, because he's that good.
Yeah.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, let's answer some questions.
Cooper Tennant. What will Sammy and Kevin do if they lose and they are fired from WWE?
Yeah.
They're not going to be fired. That's the problem with putting that stipulation on there. It telegraphs the outcome. Completely.
Yeah. I mean, I could see. I'll put it this way. I might actually see them losing that match and then Daniel Bryan pulling some shenanigans out of his bag the next Tuesday on SmackDown. I could see that maybe happening. This isn't, to me, kind of a Kurt Angle situation where I was like, oh, that's kind of difficult to write your way out of. Even though, I mean, you can't, you know, the writing can be whatever. They can do whatever they want to do, obviously. But I kind of feel like, especially now that I just throw that out there, we just saw a job on the line outcome.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll go the other way with this one. Have the faces standing tall, Orton and Nakamura. Because here's the thing. If Orton and Nakamura lose that, Shane's going to be putting heat on them. You would think Shane would probably put heat on
them. Well, it would depend on how Owens and Zayn won.
Let's say it was some dirty shenanigans and they still won, but nothing so egregious that Shane could say, oh, you're fired. I don't know. I think
any sort of dirty tricks in Shane's mind would justify.
I'll put it this way.
Further steps.
You're right. I feel like this is a situation where I could probably, just like when I was doing my Survivor Series predictions, I thought, okay, well, how is it going to look the next night at SmackDown? Even though I got the... What do we predict for Survivor Series for Team Raw versus Team SmackDown?
We both said...
We said Team Raw was going to implode.
Yeah, we both said Team SmackDown was going to win.
Yeah, and that didn't happen.
No.
And like we noted, there wasn't a whole lot of stories to come out of that. No. Beyond what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I know.
I could see the payoff of Clash of Champions being Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn being fired, going ballistic, and everybody asking what now. And then on Tuesday, Daniel Bryan, who had, you know, massive apprehension about it, somehow reversing it in some way.
Yeah.
Turning on Shane, doing some contract nonsense. Who knows?
Who knows, yeah.
I could kind of see that. That's kind of the finish in my head.
Yeah, we'll find out, though.
Yes, we will.
We will.
James Rodriguez. Do you feel like SmackDown in recent months has not been at the top of its game? If so, what changes would you make? Yeah, we kind of talked about this before the show.
It's feeling a little stale. I mean, the roster is deep. There's a lot of good talent on there, but just the way the show is lacking the energy it had months prior.
Yeah.
Every feud feels really compartmentalized.
Yeah.
There's no crossover between feuds or storylines really at all. You have this Orton Nakamura pairing, which it seems pieced together because they have really nothing more for either of them to do.
Yeah.
There's not enough motivation behind a lot of things.
Yeah.
Whereas on Raw, you look at the storylines going on there. There's motivation that makes sense. The show has energy, even though it's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of storyline crossover. Everything SmackDown was doing well months ago. Raw is now doing well.
Yeah.
And SmackDown seems to be not be doing it all.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't understand.
I mean, this is one of those things.
Was there a writing staff trade or something?
Yeah, I know. This is one of those things where it would be so awesome to, I don't know, like have a better understanding of
the inner workings.
The inner workings. Like, yeah. Oh, this writer is now going over here.
Yeah.
That writer is going over there. I mean, it's like, look, man, when your favorite TV show changes showrunners, you can find out about it. It's always news.
Yeah.
You know, when, what's his face in The Walking Dead? Darabont?
Yeah.
Frank Darabont?
Yeah, when he left.
Yeah. When he left, big news. They got another guy in.
Oh, and Larry David left Seinfeld. That was huge news.
Oh, huge news. Yeah, exactly. So, you hear about what they're doing with the House of Cards?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. He's just not going to be around.
Good.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. Neither they can do that. I saw the commercials for, I think they were doing it with Raw, for that Spacey movie without Spacey.
Oh, yeah. They already had the commercial up for it.
Yeah, I know.
And they just did the reshoots like 10 days ago or something like that.
Isn't that crazy? That's insane. That's awesome. They just said, hey, we got some ads that we already bought. Let's get our close-ups first. Let's just do the trailer shots first.
I know, they're on-set editing the commercials while
right,
they're still
exactly.
doing the
wouldn't
pickups.
Surprise me, man.
Chris Kimmel. So do you think Daniel Bryan is going to help Kevin and Sammy win at Clash of Champions? I don't think he's going to interfere to help them win.
Yeah.
Directly? I'd be very surprised.
I think it's going to be the kind of situation where it's either going to be, like you said, they win and Shane fires them anyways, or maybe Shane screws them out of their win.
Well, he's a guest ref, so.
Oh, the God, that's right. That's right. Yeah, he's the guest ref. Yeah. Yeah,
I kind of be the situation where there's a ref bump. Shane is incapacitated, so Daniel Bryan comes in to count the pinfall. So
Oh, that could motivate him reffing Jinder AJ somehow. Also.
Yeah, Shane could put him in that role in some respect.
Wait, so hold on a second. AJ and Jinder, are they off on tour? When's that tour?
Gender is, yeah, that's this weekend. That's okay. the 8th, 9th.
Is AJ on tour too?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Maybe just taking some much deserved time off.
Now, there you go. Hopefully, he's spending some good time with his kids.
Yes, because Gender's taking on Triple H in India. I don't know if he's wrestling on the other dates, though. I don't remember.
He had one of the Singhs with him in his corner.
Yeah. Because Triple H is wrestling Reigns in, was it, I can't remember the other city they're in.
Dubai?
Abu
Dhabi?
Yeah, Abu Dhabi, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah. Power rank. Power rank. People you want to take the belt off of AJ Styles.
I guess number one has to be Nakamura.
Nakamura. There you go.
And then,
number two.
Kevin Owens.
Look, man, no, if this is me, Rusev. He needs a world title. Three, Kevin Owens. He's had the Universal title. Four, Sami Zayn. Five, the heel, glorious Bobby Roode.
All right. You know what I'm really worried about?
Is Bobby Roode?
No, is AJ Styles' feud at Mania is going to be against Randy Orton?
Oh, don't say that. Oh.
That's my worry.
And... you just bum me out again, man.
Sorry.
You bum me out. Let's see here. Hamza Halal. What are they doing with Shinsuke Nakamura, and can he easily bounce back? He can totally bounce back. Nicholas Groskirth here in his response on our Patreon page has the answer. He can win the Rumble, and he can get in a feud with AJ at Mania instead of it being Orton.
Yes. CM Punk finds it insulting. What wrestling style would be more liked by and draw better than casual American... With casual American wrestling fans, WWE main event style, current WWE, or Japanese strong style, and why?
For those of you who didn't catch the question, it was what style would be more liked?
Sorry, I was interrupted by several belches.
With casual wrestling fans, American wrestling
You know
fans.
What? I'm going to say, we're going to do a mini match out here. I'm going to say strong style. Okay. UFC is extremely popular. People like real fighting. Strong style looks more like real fighting than WWE style, so I'm going to say strong style.
All right. Well, I mean, what is WWE main event style? Like,
I feel like the competitors have to slow things down a bit.
Yeah.
They sell. You know what I noticed more than anything is the use of submission moves. And when you watch a WWE match and someone puts somebody in some submission move, it feels like a rest hold. Because it had more often than not, has little bearing in terms of the story being told. Whereas if you watch a match in New Japan or almost anywhere, if someone gets put in a submission hold, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, well,
it usually enhances the story.
We saw some really, really good uses of that in the Aleister Black Velveteen Dream match.
Yes.
Where it was like, I mean, it wasn't necessarily...
It was mat wrestling.
...story, but it was mat wrestling, and it was like, oh, wow, this is something I haven't seen before, and they're selling it really, really well. You're 100% correct. When they go into those rest holds, and sometimes it's bizarrely early in a match.
Yeah.
Like, I swear I've seen a Baron Corbin or Bobby Roode match or something where it was like, oh my God, they're doing another rest hold?
Yeah.
Like,
is that Corbin match where he did two bear hugs?
Oh my God, yeah.
And then commentary will try to say, oh, they're really, you know, like grinding and putting their weight on their opponent to wear them down.
This isn't 1984 Hulk Hogan anymore. We're not buying that anymore, you know? You're just hanging out right now.
Pretty much.
I
always go back to the Suzuki Okada match earlier this year, where there's a lot of submission moves, but none of them felt like rest holds.
Oh, I know. No, yeah, I agree. Nathan Ragland, if you guys had the chance to interview anyone you wanted, wrestling or not, who would you interview? Across time, Larson, I'd interview the very first NWA champion, Orville Brown.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like,
are we sticking to wrestling answers right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say, okay, Orville, I've got some questions. Oh, what's that magic box you've got there, fella?
Yeah.
Well, this is just my iPhone, sir, Orville Brown. So, first of all, what does it do, that magic box of yours? We'd never get to the actual interview because he'd be
he would know what a telephone is.
Yeah, but he'd be,
So you'd have to go from there.
Show him, look, pictures and stuff.
Well, he knows what a picture
is. If I show him a picture of, a train coming at him on the phone, he'd think it's coming.
When was he NWA champion?
I don't know, the 1400s, around the bubonic plague days.
No, that's true.
I think it is.
I'm just trying to. I don't know if he was wrestling during the early motion picture days.
When was it? I think it was only 1940 something, wasn't it?
No, it was earlier than that.
Was it? Okay, hold on a second. Orville Brown. You give your answer. Who do you want to?
In the world of wrestling?
Oh, God, no. That's interesting. He was recognized as the first NWA World Heavyweight Champion in 1948.
Oh.
But his professional wrestling career ended in 1949 when he suffered severe injuries in an automobile accident.
Well, I think he was wrestling way earlier.
He debuted in 1929.
Even I thought he was earlier than that.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was like the 1905 or something.
I thought it was
like
1910.
Who preceded him? I don't know, man.
Who was the first NWA champion?
It was him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 1948.
Huh.
You learn something new every day.
Yep.
Holy crap. He only died in 1981. He was 72. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to talk to somebody about the early days of pro wrestling and whether, you know, how much it was real, how much it was
That's
fake.
That's what I'd ask him, yeah.
That'd be super interesting.
I'd say, how much is this fake? Fake? What do you mean? You know,
I mean, worked.
Predetermined.
Worked. We all work. We all work for a living. So did kayfabe exist back then? What?
It's all so confusing.
I know.
Man, dude. Where'd you go in the territories? Territories. The United States of America.
Well, they might know that. There's territories in the early days.
Was there?
Maybe.
They're just carnival to carnival.
Oh, it could be.
Did you ever wrestle for Ringling? Oh, man. What do you think Orville Brown would think if you showed him WWE today?
Oh, I don't know.
He's like, why was that match only 15 minutes?
I know.
Not 15 hours.
I know. One fall to win. Must be best 2 out of 3. At least for a title match.
Oh, my God. That man just came off the second rope.
That is a disqualification. Here we go. Sexton Hardcastle. Winner of the Friendo Awards and Going in Raw Hall of Fame coming up. Only 3 more weeks till 2018. We're going to do our Friendo Award nomination special.
Yeah, we got to figure.
That's going to be up on Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
And then on New Year's Day, I think, we'll announce the winners.
All right, sounds good. We got to start getting on the Friendo
Award
categories.
Yeah, I already started working on that.
Mark of Steel. Power Rank subjects you would like to see Gabagulak cover in his PowerPoint presentation. What subjects? I would like him to cover
math,
the history.
You need to brush up on your math, it sounds like.
Yeah, man. No, I don't. I hate it. It's horrible, but it also speaks to the truth of the human condition. The history of professional wrestling from the 1910s and on.
All right.
From 1905 and on.
Yeah.
Breakfast subjects like
yes,
pancake yes. breakfast versus
Focus
two
breakfast
egg
side.
Breakfast. Yeah, exactly.
Because the thing is, it can be both. I understand, you know, like you go to a place and you want you can get a meal that's pancakes,
yeah,
and you have your accoutrements. I understand that. But
it can't be the opposite.
Yes, it can.
It can't be the opposite.
It can, Steve.
How is that even possible? You don't say, can I get a plate of fries and on the side a burger? It doesn't work that way. You get a pancake and on the
that's
side.
That's a false analogy, man.
That's the perfect analogy. No, it's side versus feature.
No, it's not.
What's your feature presentation?
A better analogy is mac and cheese. You can get mac and cheese as an entree, but you can also get it as a side.
Yeah, but what do you get as a side for your mac and cheese?
You know, like something more substantial.
A side to something more substantial has to be the main dish.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, pancakes is more substantial.
It's not more substantial than a ham steak and 3 eggs.
Well, yeah, all of you'd stick them all in the same a steak. A steak's different though.
A ham steak or a steak.
A ham steak. Can I get a pancake and a New York steak?
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh man, what was that giant steak? What was that John Candy movie?
Oh yeah.
Where he's out in the woods with like
it's
I don't
great
know
outdoors,
the
right?
Great Outdoors, the Great Outdoors.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had like a giant steak in that.
You gotta be not so hung up on pancakes' role in your breakfast, man.
I don't.
It's a versatile.
There are very few topics that are less pressing than that, dude.
Broaden your horizons.
Slow Wolf asks, power ranking, reasons for Steve to turn heel on Larson. I think we're seeing it right now.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't fall in line with Steve's idea of pancakes as featured role in breakfast.
As America's, what the entire country.
If I'm going to a pancake breakfast fundraiser, I'll agree with you. if I'm going to Denny's and I want a slam breakfast that's centered around pancakes, then yes. But yeah. There's also instances where you can get
these weird dozens of diners that you've been to that
go to most diners that don't have Denny's above the door, and that's the scenario.
There are diners out there without Denny's above the door. Oh, you're talking about the International House of Pancakes, not the International House of Two Eggs.
No.
The gutter guru Sid Swami. What would a face KO look like? Would he still be with Sami Zayn? I think we're about to find out.
Hold on.
It's going to look like a tweener.
Power rankings went up that entire time.
I'm glad you caught that one.
Wait, what was the question? Sorry.
I was just talking about
face
Kevin Owens.
Mike Dinopoulos. Rusev Day is 100% over. Yeah, there's some Rusev Day chants. What other holidays in honor of wrestlers should we celebrate and how? AJ Day.
Celebrate AJ Styles. I would love AJ Day.
The most
Day.
Phenomenal holiday.
It's the yeah, exactly. AJ Day.
Maybe we should call New Year's Day just the new day.
The new. Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah, that's good. Because it's like a new year, new day.
Yeah.
Yeah, starting from the beginning. I like that. Those are both very good.
We can redub Valentine's Day, Canellis Day. Celebrate the power of love.
The Velveteen Dream Day. That, yeah. The power of sex. Poor Canellis.
I know.
Remember, everybody's like, oh, Mike Bennett's coming. Mike Bennett's coming. And then he shows up. And then, what did I say? They're dead already.
But then you did a complete 180 on it.
I know. But my initial instinct was correct. Dead on arrival.
Well, I don't think you necessarily meant creatively or professionally they were DOA, just in terms of your take on the gimmick.
They're like, hey, let's sign with the WWE, and then immediately I'll get pregnant. And so we can just sit and do nothing and get money. I'm joking.
All right, let's do one more in this trivia time.
All right, one more great question. Ah, here we go. From a first-time question asker, Braun. What percentage of fans do you think watch WWE for the storylines and not the wrestling? When people ask why I watch wrestling, I always answer that I enjoy the wrestling, but it is a TV show with great storylines, and that's why I watch. He says, I feel like really long matches slow the show down, even if it is a good match. I'd rather watch Miz, who's great on the mic and okay in the ring, than watch Cesaro, who's great in the ring but bad on the mic. I kind of flip-flop, man. I love the great matches. I like story. I think that wrestling is unique in that you can tell a story via a simulated fight in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, it's like dancing. You're telling a story through movement.
Right. It's like a good pancake breakfast.
Or a good three-egg breakfast with pancakes on the side.
Exactly. But it's cool. What percentage of fans do you think watch it for the storylines, not the wrestling? I think it's all intermingled.
You know what? I think, and I don't know if I exactly like this term, the casual viewers might be, and this is a supposition on my part, might watch it more for the storylines than the wrestling.
Yeah.
Because the quality of the wrestling week to week now is better than it's probably ever been.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's the wrestling in the ring that necessarily captivates, you know, non-hardcore wrestling fans, whereas I think people who really like wrestling want enough storyline to motivate matches.
And to
help flesh out matches. Mm-hmm. But the matches are the most important thing.
Yeah.
That's my guess. So I would probably, I don't know, it might be 60-40 split in favor of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. There's way too much math that you just gave us there. We're going to do
trivia
now.
This week we have Modern and Attitude Era.
This is like one of the, like, we're down to the wire on these cards here.
Yeah, I need to order a new game.
Yeah, man. By the new year, new game.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're going to start with Modern Era.
I already said we're going to start with Attitude, but never mind.
Big events in the Modern Era.
All right.
When John Cena and The Rock formed an unlikely tag team combination at Survivor Series 2011, what two men did they face?
That was 2011?
Yeah.
That was The Miz and R-Truth.
God, I do not know how you remember that.
What father and son team faced Undertaker in a handicap casket match at No Mercy 2005?
No Mercy. What father-son team?
Yeah.
Oh, Vince and Shane.
Randy Orton, Cowboy Bob Orton.
Man, I was going to say that too. What a bummer. Championships. What King of the Ring winner defeated Rey Mysterio for the World Heavyweight Championship at the 2006 Great American Bash?
2006?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Man. Batista.
King Booker.
Oh, darn it. Should have got that. Championships. Who was the last ECW champion when the brand was discontinued in February 2010?
Man. Lashley?
Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh, God. Superstar Bio. Who is the Ayatollah of rock and roll?
That's Chris Jericho.
Ayatollah. Go ahead.
What Raw guest host and NBA owner was slammed through a table in December 2009 by Sheamus?
Mark Cuban?
Uh-huh.
Boy, he took a lot of spots, huh?
Yeah.
Good for him. Who won the Corporation versus D-Generation X mini rumble? Oh, it was the Corporate Rumble. Who won that? Got the 30 spot in the 1999 Royal Rumble.
It was Vince.
China. Remember?
No, I remember she came out. I remember if she won or not.
He was the last one, and nobody realized that she was even eligible. Oh, and gotcha. Then DX's music hit, and people went crazy.
Yeah, I remember that part. I didn't remember if she won or not.
Almost killed his neck, too, when she threw him out.
Yeah.
His neck hit the...
Yeah. Oof. What two brothers clashed one-on-one for the first time at WrestleMania 14?
Kane Undertaker.
Yeah.
Championships. What two stooges of Mr. McMahon fought in the hardcore evening?
Briscoe and Patterson.
There you go.
Who was the last WWE Hardcore Champion when he won the title and unified it with the Intercontinental Championship in August 2002? Yeah.
RVD. What woman won the 2004 Diva Search? Boy, 2004, they're really stretching the Attitude Era, aren't they?
Yeah, that's squarely in the Ruthless Aggression area.
Or the modern era, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2004 Diva Search?
Yeah.
Jackie... What's her last name? Starts with a G.
Gata?
Yeah.
Christy Hemme.
Oh, yeah, I thought her too. Just put a finger up. What superstar gave new meaning to the phrase food fight when he attacked Booker T in a supermarket?
Don't go, Devon, you son of a bitch. You damn son of a bitch.
What's my booty today?
Started out strong for old Larson here and went downhill fast.
Started out strong for old Larson. Went down fast.
This is thick. Well, just don't search for me. Grab one card randomly. Pull it out.
Stop yelling at me.
Do it right.
Nice. Titus O'Neil.
Nice.
Titus Worldwide.
Titus Brand.
Titus Brand. All right. Anyways, that's our show. Out, music.
Patrons, stick around.
Chat trivia.
We'll be doing some chat trivia. I got the cards right here.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.